Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G tonight. I'm tired, I'm exhausted, but tonight we have two things on the schedule, the regular show right now, and then we'll move to the Patreon Subscribestar show, private show for the donors at the $20 level. So if you want to join us tonight and speak with me, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar, and you will see the link there on those platforms. Right after this show. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Grapes Coda says, I'm running Windows XP with 1 gig RAM. Are you kidding me? Windows XP, that is not a safe thing to do. I don't think it's supported anymore. Isn't it abandoned by Microsoft? And therefore, there could be weaknesses in your networking. It was a good Windows, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I think that Windows has reached a peak in around Windows XP. XP was a special thing, and then it got bad with Vista 7, and then there was Windows 10. Windows 10 was not bad. I'm super satisfied with Windows 10. I found it annoying a little bit at the beginning, the old graphics that they added to it. But in the end, if you get used to it, you can accept it. You can accept to live with Windows 10. And now I'm with Windows 11, which is basically just a copy of Windows 10, but with some features updated. Today I've been working extremely hard. I've been digging soil to establish a new storage space that I want to build in lumber, and I needed to build to dig the soil so that I could level the floor of this. I've been filling my raised bed with lots of that soil, so the raised bed is now filled at about half. I will fill the other half with higher quality soil, but I didn't mean to put some packing stuff in it just to get to about halfway through, and then I'll put some more quality soil, composted manure, and that kind of stuff at the top of the raised bed. I've also been doing plumbing, and so that's why I'm super exhausted, and I'm in pain in my shoulders because I've been drilling through the concrete because I wanted my water lines to exit the house and get to the greenhouse. So I drilled 3 holes in the concrete. This is my first time drilling concrete this year, and I like it. I love doing it, but it's a very demanding task with the hammer action of the drill. You have to know what you're doing, because when you drill wood, you press super hard. But the trick, I think I've figured it out after 3 holes. I think that the goal of the hammer action on concrete is not so much to push super strong on it, because if you push super strong, it tends to smooth the hole, and then you don't dig anymore. I think it's to just hold it at the border of what you want to cut and let the hammer action just do tack 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 tack, and let basically a little millimeter space for vibration instead of pressing super hard. So I've been successful at the end, but it took more than 1 day of work just to drill those 2 holes. And I mean, those are not full days. Those are just like hours that I spend in the afternoon sometimes, but it took more than a couple of hours to go through, despite the fact that I had a good drill. Silver Spider says, exactly, Jeff, let the drill do the work and remove the material. Yeah, one other thing I noticed is that, you know, when you drill wood, you just go through. What you have to do when you drill concrete is not only leave that millimeter space for the drill to do the work, but you have to make sure that the powder is evacuated, or else your drill will only be digging in the powder that's left there. And so you do this by angling a little bit the drill, and therefore the borders of the drill start accumulating powder that then swirls back. It's a whole science that I've learned. I've learned it on myself without any course or anything. So I'm pretty proud of it. Today we learned that Elon Musk will reverse Trump's ban. He says would because it's not totally final whether he will own Twitter, but it looks like an announcement that he will be unbanning Trump, and most importantly, it will be basically his project is to make permaban a very last resort. He is against permabans.
I guess the answer is that I would reverse the permaban. Obviously, I don't own Twitter yet, so this is not like a thing that will definitely happen. Because what if I don't own Twitter? But my opinion, and Jack Dorsey, I want to be clear, shares this opinion, is that we should not have permabans.
We should not have permabans. I mean, this means I will be back on Twitter. But I'm ready to stay in the Twitter prison until this happens. I'm not going to beg to the current administration of Twitter. But I will keep participating to the rise of alt tech and try to drag attention toward Odyssey Gab. But I'll be back on Twitter if Elon Musk liberates me and abolishes permabans. I've been banned, as a reminder, on claims that I was spamming, where I was only updating Twitter with my show on an everyday basis. Just one link to my show. CNN does it. They tweet links to their shows, to their videos. Elon Musk says he would reverse Twitter's Trump ban. Musk's remarks at Financial Times' Future of the Car conference mark his first public acknowledgement of what had been widely expected since the billionaire announced plans to buy the social media giant for $44 billion. Musk has previously said he thinks Twitter should be more reluctant to delete things and very cautious with permabans. On Tuesday, he called Twitter's decision to ban Trump in January 2021 a mistake. it's true that life has been sucking since we can't have the everyday thoughts of Donald Trump. The world feels less interesting. And people were pointing out that do we really want to be happy about Trump coming back to Twitter? And would he come back? I mean, he may very well have, because he started a whole SPAC and they ended up selling a lot of stocks. Basically, he has a multi, I believe that the market cap of his current venture, a Twitter alternative, is in the billions, right? It's worth a lot. And so I think that if he was to start tweeting instead of staying on that platform, it would be seen as an abandonment of his commitment to the people he sold these stocks to. And he would be seen as a scam artist. He would be seen a little bit like the leftists have been looking at Trump University as a failed scam enterprise. It could very well be that if Trump is tempted to go back to Twitter and tweets on a regular basis, we will one day look at his Truth Social and think of it as a scam thing that brought so many investors and fooled them. That would be an interesting outcome. This is not an argument, says Truth Social isn't even a joke. Yeah, it's stunning how they haven't even succeeded at being available for anyone who doesn't have an iPhone. Are you insane? The regular people don't have iPhones. ACLU responds to Musk saying he would reinstate Trump's Twitter, say they agree that he shouldn't be banned. Wow, ACLU, it's been a while that they had abandoned their position for free speech. Have they realized that it was not sustainable to continue being a civil rights organization that doesn't stand for free speech? For now, they are backing the project of Musk to bring back Donald Trump. However, they're still doing it in a very elitist way. They say he should be brought back because he's a politician. So always they always have this elitist control over speech, and it's like, well, I shouldn't be brought back because I'm not a politician, I'm just a scientist. Chef Marv says we are presented a deep fake JF that was put in place after he met that Wolverine near his home more than a year ago. Well, I will not comment on this. Hispanic voters are losing faith in the Democratic Party. The support of Hispanic voters at the midterms later this year could prove to be extremely instrumental in turning the tide of liberal policies of the current administration, a conservative Hispanic group says. According to a Quinnipiac University poll published in April, only 26% of Hispanic survey participants approved of Joe Biden's job performance. This marks the lowest approval rating of any demographic group. It's going to be interesting what happens with the Hispanics in America. There has always been a hope that perhaps with their religious conservatism, that they may not be fully, and their desire to have a working economy because they are working class. There's always been a possibility that they would turn against the woke Democrats at some point, because they may stand with the Democrats on the immigration issue, wanting to get more Hispanics into the U.S. But at some point, something's got to give, and at some point they will want a better life for themselves, and perhaps with their traditional Catholic tendencies, they might form, as we joked, me and Richard Spencer one day, the future of the Republican Party. So it will be interesting to follow this. It seems that their interest in Joe Biden is extremely low. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, well, you can, of course, join the Patreon and Subscribestar if you want to join us on the private show in 2 hours from now. Or you can use Super Chats. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way for supporting the show tonight. Use the dollar button under the regular chat on Odyssey, or as an alternative, you can use the link to Entropy that you will find in the description. Please respect Mia Khalifa's rebrand. So I love this little, this was a Twitter trend, and they're asking us, you know, Mia Khalifa has a past in porn. I don't know what led to her being so known. I believe it's she was making porn with religious clothing. She was dressed as a Muslim, I believe, in her porn movies. Anyways, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm confused with someone else. But my understanding is this is it. And I find it funny that in this world of cancel culture, where cancel culture is a permanent thing. They want you to lose your bank account, they want you to be unemployable, and they want it to be for life. But Mia Khalifa, you shouldn't cancel her. She has decided to move to a more supportive and more female fan base. Creeps and jerks will be blocked. Of course, the the anti-male hate here shows up in this end, creeps and jerks. Of course, you're talking about males, and you are suggesting that her female fans will be more respectful of her. And they're telling us on Twitter trend, you know, don't cancel Mia Khalifa for her past in porn. They are working against cancel culture when it's one of their own, when it fits what they want. They wouldn't do that to a right-winger. Holly Boy says JF needs to avoid pointless popular culture examinations, lowest form of discourse. I will never avoid this. I've been reviewing stuff on this show that is the lowest of the lowest, and I don't get tired of it, because to me, this is an anthropological observation. Okay, you have the leftists are realizing that cancel culture is bad when it's applied to themselves, and they are trying to get you to develop a cancel culture is good, but sometimes, and sometimes it's not good. No, I don't get tired of it because it's true. These little uninteresting, unimportant celebrities that the cognitive structure of leftism shows best. And so, no, to the contrary, I will never give up this. I will always be interested in hearing what the normies and what the low IQ think about. Liz Warren demands JP Morgan and Goldman name clients trading Russia debt, perhaps taking anti-Russian action in the US to McCarthyite level. A pair of Democrat congressional leaders are seeking information from JP Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs on trades of Russian debt since the invasion of Ukraine kicked off. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, who serves on the Senate Banking Committee, and Representative Katie Porter are demanding that names be named. This is unbelievable. At this point, they are publicly discussing doxing. And doxing of financial private information. We're very far from the moments where we thought that the banking system was a safe harbor, that they would only spit out information if a judge ordered them to do so, if it was in line with the law, if they really had to. And still then, they would have to wait for the police to come and get the info against their will. At this point, we have Democrat candidates and Democrat politicians openly asking for the publication of this information. Bird Flu says, hey, JF, we have some provincial elections coming up. Do you vote for such things in Canada? I didn't know. I didn't hear about any provincial elections, but I live so far that the info would get to me extremely late. But yeah, I will cover it if it happens. I don't know where. I think that different provinces have different dates, right? So which province are you talking about? I'm not going to be super interested in covering the provincial elections of Ontario or Quebec. Those provinces will, of course, vote for further leftism. So, I mean, I could cover it, but it would be depressing. Now, Bird Flu, you are on a mission. You are on an insemination mission, and I refuse to talk about provincial politics until you inform us about the status of your insemination mission, because oh no, that's Bird Flu. It's not Bird Dude, or is it the same guy? Is Bird Flu the guy who has an offer for insemination with a girl who says, I'm going to just get the kid and you're not going to be involved in his life? I think it's him. I think it's the same guy. Bird Dude, Bird Flu, same thing. Fractal Man sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, what do you think about UST, stable coin? Breaking the dollar, trading around 70 cents. There is a big opportunity for arbitrage. I am testing it right now. What do you think happens to BTC if the stable coins break? Well, UST or USDT? I've not heard that USDT was in such a failure. No, USDT appears to be healthily around $1. So you must be talking about something else. UST, I've never heard of this. So these unknown Tether coins, they are worth the bits that fly into your network cable, which is zero. So I wouldn't. Total Grim says UST is the stable on the Luna change. It depegged yesterday. Oh boy, well, I wouldn't play arbitrage with this. If you want to play arbitrage, maybe with USDT, because it has It has a big history and a big legion of supporters, and it's approved by mainstream platforms. But a Tether coin, random out there, that has no mechanism to ensure the seriousness of it, I would never do arbitrage with this. It's a very risky move. Now you ask, what happens in general if stable coins break? In general, in the overall market, if you have a big abandonment of the belief that a USDT is worth $1, what happens is you have capital flowing outside of stable coins into non-stable coins. So you'd have a big BTC rise if that was to happen. But I'm afraid that an event limited to the Luna chain, which I barely know, I've seen the name, this seems to be too minor to induce any movements on BTC. Stay far from these risky alternate chains. And, you know, people have to understand where we're headed. We are headed into a world where the scams will be called out, where if you don't have a true justification for your existence, your crypto will disappear. In the next 3 years, I predict that 50% of the crypto will just become valueless. So it's not the right moment to be betting on crazy stuff. The times of the ape is over. Okay, Planet of the Ape and the people who were like, oh, Jeff, I've put $1,000 in Shiba Inu cum rocket. No, don't do that. Certainly don't do that in the next few months and years, because when the economic depression hits in full, there's going to be things driven to zero. There's going to be things that no one wants to get. And BTC will never be driven to zero in that way, but a lot of the crap coins will be. A lot of the crap coins will be. DOJ silent on abortion protest at justices' homes despite federal law prohibiting pickets to influence case. There have been no arrests of abortion activists despite federal law prohibiting protest with intent to influence a court case. The Department of Justice is remaining silent on continued protest by abortion activists outside conservative Supreme Court justices' homes, despite a federal law that makes it illegal to attempt to influence federal officials and the outcome of a court case. The pro-abortion protesters are targeting the private homes of the 6 Republican-appointed justices after the leak last week of a draft opinion signaled the Supreme Court intends to overturn landmark abortion case Roe v. Wade. It's amazing because normally you'd see the Democrats, if this was a right-wing protest, you'd see the Democrats start using words like insurrection. So why aren't we pursuing these insurrectionists? Why don't we make May 9th the day of the Democratic insurrection against the Supreme Court decision? Of course, there's absolutely comparable basis here with the famous January 6th event. We have federal workers that are just doing their job, the Supreme Court justices, and they're following their beliefs about what is the legal standing of a given case. And you have people who want to pressure them and who want to intimidate them in choosing differently. You know what I hope? I hope that these protests will eventually convince I forget his name, but the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, you know, the one who tends to vote with the Democrats but who's a Republican. I hope it will convince him to side with the abolishment of Roe v. Wade. Like, okay, I hope that he sees that there is such a state of hate in America against right-wing ideas that he says, you know what, these people are there to influence me, I'm going to do the contrary. Yeah, John Roberts, that's his name. John Roberts, I hope that he will say, I'm going to do the opposite of what those rioters, those so-called protesters, want me to do. Meanwhile, there's an interesting bill being pushed in. Laston says, yeah, right. Yeah, with him, it's very unlikely because he's been a full cuck. Deciding somehow that because right-wing justices had been appointed, that he would totally betray the ideas for which he was supposed to stand there and sided with the leftist since then. So the chances are low, but I hope that it happens. I hope that it gives him a last kick, you know, a kick to say, all right, I'm going to be a little contrarian here. If these people are going to show their violent nature in that way, their intimidating nature in that very personal way, I'm going to vote against them and I'll trigger them. A very interesting bill. The whole idea of the fight against Disney, you know, in Florida has been going very well. But now it's being brought on the federal stage. Holly introduces a bill to strip woke Disney of special copyright protections. Holly aims to revoke Disney's special privileges with new legislation. I didn't know this, but apparently there's a Walt Disney Protection Act that gives the Mickey Mouse Protection Act, they call it. That extends copyright to corporations for up to 120 years. So apparently Disney has been a benefactor of this special act, and Holly is trying to bring the fight against Disney. His reasoning is, look, we give these corporations special privilege, and then they push leftist propaganda onto the nation with this special privilege, with this money that we let them accumulate. So it's interesting. I hope that he succeeds, but it's the federal government. You're going to have probably to win the midterms with the Republicans if you want this to have a chance. Kenzie is on Entropy. He says, why do we let prisoners lift weights to get strong and more dangerous? Shouldn't we give them an all-vegan soy diet? That is a very interesting question. I've been thinking about this. I've been looking at all these prison movies and seeing the men in the prison accumulate strength. And I've been thinking this is probably not a good thing, you know? They are developing testosterone, probably, you know, they're developing all these hormones that could make them more violent, although I'm not sure, you know, as a scientist, I know that the whole link between testosterone and violence is, and all of the hormones that would develop during exercise, I'm not fully sure, but I think there's a solid possibility that it's the case, that too much training could help recidivism in, could contribute to recidivism in someone that has already committed a crime. And on top of it, they are more physically strong, and therefore these crimes could be, in principle, more hurtful to the victims, more violent. Yes, I think it's a weird thing, but at the same time, you could make an argument that perhaps physical exercise is an out. It's certainly something that will keep them healthy, and it's something that is relatively low cost and low supervision, you know. So I'm not strongly opposed to letting them do that. I find that a vegan diet, to me, would fit the description by all international treaties of torture. So I don't think we should torture the prisoners with a vegan diet. And who knows, you know, you might cause more harm than good. What if part of their violent problems relies on lack of nutrition for their brain. You know, who knows? I don't know. But you can have an hypothesis that someone with incomplete nutrition is more likely to develop behavioral problems, brain problems, neurological problems. So no, feed them with a relatively, with a just a decent quantity of protein, animal protein, not luxury, but just enough to not be torture. Some random bloke is sending a super chat on Entropy. He says, "Hey Jeff, one moment. Hey Jeff, have you read Kevin McDonald? Have you read Culture of Critique? What is your view?" I did a review of Culture of Critique, although it's so far into the history of the internet. I don't know if you'll find a direct reference to it. Maybe on Alt-Censored. But I'm willing, since it's been so long, I'm willing to lay out the full summary of my view on Culture of Critique. And in fact, I had interviewed Kevin McDonald on this subject, and I had challenged him on certain things. I think that it's a great work, and that it's important that Kevin McDonald looked into the position of the Jewish people in our society, whether they have ethnocentric interests that deploy themselves in particular ways in terms of selective employment. And I, even further than this, I guess you could rewrite Culture of Critique today, and you'd have so much examples in how there are pressure, ethnocentric pressures in the military. There are ethnocentric pressures in terms of controlling public discourse, in terms of civil rights association like the ACLU, in terms of impacting discourse and what can be said on the public space. All of it is something, all of this, and including it pieces against right-wing personalities, you'll see in each of these cases that there are always certain ethnocentric interests hiding behind these people. For example, the Daily Beast journalist, I guess we could call her a journalist, Kelly Whale, I believe her name was, who wrote an it piece about me, is Jewish. And I don't think it's random. I think there's a reason for this. I think that somehow there is a subsection of the Jewish community, and it's not all, but there is a subsection of them that have chosen to be on the mission to combat certain types of ideas, especially right-wing ideas in our current world, and especially what they perceive as fascistic and what they sometimes perceive as racist. And they are on a mission. So Kevin McDonald, with his Culture of Critique, has properly set the stage for an overarching cataloging of, okay, well, since when has this been going? Because I can see it. I can see it. I can see that the hit piece about me was written by someone of Jewish descent, and it's not random. So from there, where did it begin? And Kevin McDonald goes back to Freud and claims that basically the entirety of the contribution of those big thinkers who were from the Jewish community are aligned with their ethnocentric interest. That is extremely interesting. Now, Kevin McDonald tries to push this as an evolutionary theory, which I don't take issue with. I just take issue with the particular theory that he has to, that he selects to do this. I take issue with the concept of group strategies and group selection. The problem being, everything that Kevin McDonald says can be explained through selfish genetic interest. You could very well have a community that evolves in a certain direction to interact with the nation they live in, and it would be in their individual interest. It doesn't have to be the case that the interest is pooled across a group. So it's a fallacy to me to believe that because group behavior is observable, it must be the subject of the evolutionary force. The evolutionary force can boil down always to individuals. And even if you totally remove the group selection comment of Kevin MacDonald, and you totally focus on a gene-centric perspective, you can very well have phenotypes that expand themselves into collective social behavior. So basically, my issue with Kevin MacDonald is evolutionary and not sociological. I think that his work is totally respectable from a sociological perspective. But I think he picks the wrong, and it's the wrong time to be trying to push a group selection type of interpretation, group success, group behavior. It's the wrong time to do this while you also do a very edgy exploration of something that people in our current society do not want us to explore. You have to choose your fight. You do one or you do the other. So if I take the Jewish description of behavior that is done by Kevin MacDonald, I fully agree with it. If I take his group selection hypothesis to that constitutes the overarching umbrella over it all, I reject it. All right. The news of the war in Ukraine. UN Security Council meeting on the humanitarian situation in Ukraine expected this week. The US House is continuing to fund the Ukraine war with infinite amounts of money. Unbelievable. And the Lithuanian foreign minister says Russian regime must be removed to stop warmongering. And you have all these special stories published by CNN. Look at all these Ukrainian fighters and how great they are. US working with other partners to find alternative routes for Ukrainian grain and corn. We're not even through the whole hit on our economy that this war will have. We're not even through because we haven't experienced the full final shortage of a full harvest season of Ukraine wasted. But this is what we'll see in the coming months and years. Stephen Robinson says, "Hey, Jeff, have you covered the story of the Canadian general who was captured by Russia? I think you had sent me his picture and stuff, and I talked about it that night, but it was like 2 weeks ago, right? I didn't get any updates on him, so I don't know what's new about him, but feel free to send me a DM on Discord if you have further information." Some random bloke says, "Hey, Jeff, would you interview David Sloan Wilson?" David Sloan Wilson. I've already answered that question before. Who is he? An American evolutionary biologist. Okay, so the Wilson who has this, if I remember correctly, he is associated with the whole group selection, multi-level selection type of stuff. Yes, I would interview him, like I would interview basically anyone. The question is if he would want to be interviewed and challenged. But if he doesn't, it's not dramatic. Because I'm pretty much past this whole group selection. I think it's a smokescreen. It's a big lie. And at this point, trying to convince these people they're so cemented in that lie, there's no way you're going to have them examine with a critical view their take. And so I've said what I had to say about group selection. It seems to me that it always boils down to individual and gene selection. And so if you have a theory that always boils down to another theory, and it doesn't explain anything with any sort of better insight than the initial theory, then the most fundamental theory should be used. And that's a sad case of a field of science, this whole discussion around gene selection or group selection, where people have said so much crap that the basic application of the principle I just stated becomes impossible, because they're too attached. They're going to argue their way out. They're going to say, well, it does provide more insight. Look at how we can better explain altruism. But we don't need a better explanation for altruism. Because for whatever it is that you think group selection explains better, we don't need that better explanation, because gene selection explains it properly already. And you haven't demonstrated that there was something in those multi-level selection theory that can explain something that gene selection cannot explain. By the way, we had a discussion on all this a couple of days ago when I did a show about evolution. And someone on when I did the show about on genetic interest and kin selection, someone on the Discord, Fadam, brought the question of, there are some turtles who go around and they find turtles that are on their back, and they will put them back on their belly so that they can go on living. And if they had been stuck on their back, there was a very high likelihood that they would have died. And he's asked me, what is the evolutionary force driving this, if not kin selection? Like, if you're like, well, maybe it's parental behavior, but that would be kin selection of a certain kind. You know, in the end, they're really just investing energy and risks at saving other beings. Why are they doing this? And I was pointing out, you could see the turtles using the other turtle as a shield. If you are in an environment where you are the only prey available, you are at much bigger risk of being captured by a predator. If you are surrounded by preys that look like you, like a penguin among 10,000 other penguins, you are protected. You are protected by the laws of probability. And that's something that has been known for a long time. I think I've seen John Maynard Smith talk about this in the early 20th century. And having other people around you doesn't mean that you're altruistic. You may be doing it for a ultimately gene-centric evolutionary reason. You are making sure that there are turtles alive around you, so that you're not the turtle that ends up being killed by the next predator. Think about herding. John Drake says that's what the herding instinct is. Yeah, think about the risk that you run if you're alone versus if there's 10,000 of you out there. You there could be a wolf right in front of you ready to eat you. But if you have 10,000 individuals just like you around you, you don't have to fear. And it's not even that you have defenses. It's that the presence of other beings around you is the defense. So you have to be careful attributing, even to kin selection, these things that could very well be interpreted from a gene-centric perspective. Testicles says, wait, why couldn't it be a parental behavior? Well, there's the problem. I didn't say it couldn't be parental behavior. I said, so when you interpret these alternative theories of evolution, you have to be careful about something. One is not necessarily contradicting the other. So the whole story I just gave, which is, I'm keeping turtles alive around me so that I don't get eaten. That's just one possibility. Now, it's possible also that there's an overlap and that this behavior does this, and it also does The whole, I'm going to make sure that my babies don't get stuck on their back. I want them to survive because they have my genes. So you have to be careful. Stating that one evolutionary force could be at play doesn't mean that another evolutionary force couldn't be at play. But in the context of this conversation on the Discord, it was the particular challenge. Fadam wanted me to find a selfish genetic reason as opposed to a parental care or kin selection argument. And I've still not been presented with a single case of a widely species-level behavior that is widespread and repeatedly done that is not explainable through selfish genetic interest. It's that hard. I mean, these people who argue for kin selection, they will, or group selection, they will say, well, what about this kamikaze fighter in 1943? He flew into the Pearl Harbor or whatever, and he killed himself. And this shouldn't be an evolutionary question. It shouldn't be an evolutionary question, just like it shouldn't be an evolutionary question why a bunch of porcupine hedgehogs end up being just flattened by 10 wheels trucks, you know. It's just because, and this is a phrasing from Richard Dawkins, we shouldn't care about explaining these accidents, these misfirings. We should care only about finding evolutionary explanations for widespread behavior, because if your behavior is so rare that it ultimately doesn't matter at the probabilistic level and at the population level, then there is no need for an evolutionary explanation for it. Psaki says, Biden White House continues to encourage peaceful protest outside of SCOTUS judges' homes. So they want a peaceful protest. But a peaceful protest outside someone's private home, there's another word for this. It's stalking. And you guys, the Democrats, are using the word stalking when men do that to their exes, or when men do that to children that they've been deprived of. And yet now the Democrats are doing it to the Supreme Court justice, and it's called a peaceful protest rather than stalking and harassment. The Bias News says Nancy Pelosi's house has now been targeted. So after Psaki has been standing for peaceful protest, well, the leftist pro-choice protesters are now protesting at the house of Nancy Pelosi. Why? Because they're demanding that she investigates Supreme Court justices. They want blood. They want an impeachment proceeding. I mean, poor Nancy Pelosi has been forced against her will to do impeachment proceedings against Trump that she knew wouldn't work. And they want the same thing again for Supreme Court justices. Look, the impeachment proceeding of Supreme Court justices has already been happening through their little interview thing with the hearings, and where they totally smeared them. Basically treated Brett Kavanaugh as a gang rapist without any sort of proof. An impeachment proceeding would just be the same, and you'd end up having the Senate equally disgusted as they were in front of your behavior toward Trump. Thomas Howard says, JF was more than 50% sure. I got the impression he was 99% sure. SARS-CoV-2 was a naturally occurring form of the virus and not the product of gain-of-function research, despite revelations from Chinese lab whistleblowers. He devoted an entire show to debunking these revelations. Wait a minute. When I say 50%, I mean 50%. And when I was saying I'd give it a 50% chance, that it's a naturally occurring virus. It was relatively early in the development of the coverage. And please understand what 50% means. It means that 50% possibility is equally applied to the other possibility. That is, if I said there was 50% possibility that it was naturally occurring, I also believe that there's 50% possibility that it's a lab leak. So don't you misrepresent my early position on this. The fact is, I have never affirmed that I had any degree of confidence beyond 50%, which is basically no confidence at all in a binary question. I have never said with any sort of confidence that it was a naturally occurring virus. But I've also, you're right, discredited certain very poor claims that were done early, where we were asked to believe some Chinese whistleblowers. And the fact is that their arguments weren't super solid. And just like the HIV resemblance argument was not super solid. So I've not been letting you hear that I was 99% sure. Are you insane? There's a difference between 99 and 50. I said 50. You had the impression that it was 99. I don't know how you can mistake these two numbers. Actual insurrection, Chicago urges call to arms over Supreme Court. Oh my God, we're really headed toward a January 6th of the Democrats. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot has issued a call to arms in response to a leaked ruling from the Supreme Court. Her tweet is saying, "To my friends in the LGBTQ+ community, the Supreme Court is coming for us next. This moment has to be a call to arms. We will not surrender our rights without a fight to victory." Aren't there, people were pointing out, aren't there enough arms in Chicago? Like, I think it was the Gateway Pundit who was laughing at this, and they were saying there. It's already the city with the most crime in America. Maybe making a call to arms is not the most clever thing you can do right now. But yeah, what happens if someone does take arms and start shooting whoever? Is Lori Lightfoot getting banned from Twitter? Because it's what they did to Trump. Trump didn't even use the word call to arms. Trump called for a peaceful protest. In many ways, this is already more bannable than what Trump ever said on Twitter. Why is Lori Lightfoot still on Twitter? Thomas O'Ward says, "We've been lied to by TPTB our entire lives. It is very difficult to overcome this programming when your livelihood is dependent on going along with the narrative in the face of censorship. Confidence in the counter position can be difficult." Yes, but I'm the last man on the internet who actually, when I say 50-50, I'm really serious, and I'm not being influenced by social consideration or acceptability of a position. John Drake says, "JF, have you heard anything about listening to 40 hertz binaural frequency improving cognition?" No, I've never heard of this, but oh my God, the number of bizarre tricks out there that you'll find. I've not heard about it, so I won't comment, but the idea that a frequency sound would somehow improve your brain. I'm not going to fully dismiss it. I'm open to the proof, but unfortunately, there are so many things out there. The problem is people forget. Just doing something improves your brain, improves your cognition. So that's the problem. A lot of the studies will show you, oh, look, we had people, dance while tapping their belly and throw a balloon in the air. You know the thing that's super hard to do. We had people tap their forehead while doing rotation movements onto their chest. And the problem is, if you do this versus nothing, these people will probably have better cognition in the next 5 minutes. They're probably going to score higher on the IQ test. And so the problem is, whatever you do, you probably improve cognition as long as you impose some degree of intellectual demand on the brain. So be careful. That doesn't mean that the effects are long-term, and it may just be a trick that just activates some physiological paths of your brain that activate it for a given moment. People have sent me this, a documentary about our friend Mark Collett, a patriotic alternative documentary, The Enemy Within, The Far Right Dispatches. Look, I've watched the whole documentary. They're trying to make a hit piece. But they're trying to make a hit piece against a group of people that seem pretty sympathetic. I mean, our friend Mark Collett, of course, Laura Toller, they and some other guys in there, and they're passing pamphlets, and they're putting all this dramatic music, and it's like, the far right is expanding. They are now targeting teenagers. And there's nothing scandalous about the activities that this group deploy, Patriotic Alternative, which is the group of Mark Collett, which attempted to be a party but apparently got denied. It's a denial of democracy, and there's the only moment of violence, in, because it's a whole undercover operation where they sent a disguised journalist inside the group of Mark Collett to get hidden camera footage. The only violent event that happens in this whole documentary is actually some masked Antifa coming in and starting to attack the undercover journalist, because the undercover journalist was posing as a Patriotic Alternative pamphlet distributor. So your only instance of violence is actually against the group that you claim is such a danger to democracy. It's ridiculous. They look very sympathetic. They do jokes, and sometimes they do edgy jokes, and the documentary ends up representing this. Oh, see, they still have hate inside. But the jokes are kind of funny at times, and at other times, they seem like they may express some form of racism, but in the worst case, like, okay, you caught someone being a racist in a political group. Is that the most pertinent thing to talk about right now? Anyways, it's a documentary from which it leaves a taste of absence in the mouth. It leaves a okay, if that is the most dangerous thing in our current society, why are they the ones getting attacked by some terroristic Antifa, and you don't send undercover journalists in the Antifa group? They seem to be the ones committing political violence. Anyways, I don't expect rationality or fair treatment by leftist journalists and mainstream TV. China surrounds Taiwan for massive invasion rehearsal drill. So I don't know if it's the moment, but it seems that China is practicing very hard. They're practicing very hard on the potential invasion of Taiwan. LBRT says, let's get Ryan Dawson on again. He's a great guest. Yeah, the thing with Ryan Dawson, I should send him an email, because I actually invited him on Gab DM, but he doesn't look at it often, and I think he missed it. And sometimes Gab DM are capricious. They tell you you have zero DM, but you have some, or they tell you you have five and you have zero. So I think I should, you know what, I'll be writing to Ryan Dawson through email instead. New DOJ notes reveal FBI panic after Trump tweeted He knew he was being spied on. Well, not surprising. Of course, they are shocked when they learn that their little coup against Donald Trump has been debunked and identified. Nahid Bukele from El Salvador says El Salvador just bought the dip, 500 bitcoins at an average USD price of 30,000. I don't think it's going to be enough to save Bitcoin on the short term, but yeah, at some point there's going to be a price at which basically there will be infinite amounts of money thrown at Bitcoin. Perhaps 20k, perhaps 10k. If there's a big crisis and a loss of confidence, maybe even below the 10k. But it's not going to stay there for long. I think that Bitcoin has a promising future. There were some people who were asking me, JF, should I buy at 30k? My advice, if you have money and you're looking to get into Bitcoin, let some time pass. I mean, it's not professional advice, but my impression is there will be darker days ahead in the next year or two. Let the Great Depression of 2022 happen. And when you feel that you're at the bottom, go for it. It's not completely crazy to buy Bitcoin at 30k. But my impression is when you let time pass, you see better opportunities ahead. Revenge of the Based, Thiel-backed fund to take on woke BlackRock activism. A new financial firm backed by Peter Thiel and Bill Ackman aims to take the woke out of corporate America and is taking aim at BlackRock's push for stakeholder capitalism, ESG parity test with several new funds that instead promote excellence capitalism. Well, it's all very interesting, but I don't think that this initiative will change this. I think that probably what will happen with all this leftist takeover of corporation is that it will fizzle out from its own unproductivity. They will induce so much cost that at some point companies are going to start being tight. They're going to look for ways of reducing their expenses, increasing productivity, and they will naturally kick out the woke, which will by then have become very cringe. But I don't think you can accomplish this with money. I think it's just going to happen naturally. So anyways, that's it for the regular show. I will be headed toward the private show. If you want to join the private show tonight, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level. We'll be live in 45 minutes from now at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Much love and thank you for being here tonight. Tomorrow we have also a double program. I will be having the regular show at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and then I'll be on Modern Day Debate to debate Infrared, also known as Haz, on the question of capitalism versus communism. We'll be right back.